Hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Bengals' first 50 countdown here on Bengals.com. I'm Dan Hoard. He's Dave Lapham. And this year, as part of the Bengals' 50th anniversary season celebration, fans and media members have chosen the top 50 retired players in Bengals history, and they will be recognized at every regular season home game this year. Today on the countdown, we look at players 50 through 41, starting with number 50. He was a third-round draft pick out of Furman. He spent seven seasons with the Bengals, and he is best remembered for his kickoff return touchdown in Super Bowl XXIII, Stanford Jennings.
And boy, do I remember that kickoff return, Dan. It gave the Bengals their only lead in Super Bowl history. They had not had a lead in either game until that kickoff return of 93 yards. The wedge does a phenomenal job. They get a couple of double-team kickout blocks. The Red Sea parts. Stanford Jennings hits at 100 miles an hour. I'm like, go, Stan. I mean, it was unbelievable. There was nobody really that could make a play on him, and he outran everybody to the end zone. And Stanford Jennings will obviously forever be remembered for that. And he was he's fourth all time in kickoff return yards in franchise history. So he did it repetitively. The other thing, though, as a third round pick out of Furman, Sam Weiss's alma mater, Sam knew all about him. He was a really good running back, good receiver out of the backfield, could run the ball effectively. A guy like Stanford Jennings deserves that spot.
Player number 49 on the list was a first-round draft pick out of Tennessee, a wide receiver who spent nine seasons with the Bengals. He was a member of the Super Bowl XXIII team, and his best season came the following year when he had more than 1,200 receiving yards, Tim McGee.
Of the top 50 players, Dan, 30 of them are from Super Bowl XVI and Super Bowl XXIII, 60%. Makes sense. Those two teams were best in franchise history, obviously, with that status. But Tim McGee was a key component. Eddie Brown could stretch the field on one side. Tim McGee could stretch it on the other. In fact, averaged 16.7 yards per reception for his career, third best in franchise history. Pretty big number, you know, over a first down and a half every single catch. So he would stretch it. Eddie would stretch it. Rodney would take care of the middle, Rodney Holman. Then you had James Brooks and Icky Woods out of the backfield, Boomer Esiason, the quarterback. That offense, I mean, how do you stop that offense? Not many people did. That's why they went to Super Bowl XXIII.
Player number 48 was a fourth-round draft pick out of Georgia. He spent 11 years with the Bengals and had 10.5 sacks in 2006. One of three Gathers brothers to play in the NFL, Robert Gathers.
Talk about gene pool. His dad played in the NFL. His uncle, Jumpy, was big time with the forklift. Stick his arms up on you, pick you up, and deposit you. And Robert Gathers was right in the line with all those great football players in the Gathers family. The thing that I remember most about Robert Gathers is sacrifice for his football team. He would play outside. He would play inside. Versatility, flexibility, team player, leader, quiet leader. But everybody gravitated toward Robert Gathers because of his play on the football field and the kind of guy he was. Great dad, great family man. I mean, just a tremendous football player. And he checked every box. Every single box you can check, looking for a guy playing 10 years or more in the National Football League, Robert Gathers fits them all.
Number 47 on the list was a first-round draft pick out of North Carolina who spent 9 years with the Bengals. He might have been slightly overshadowed by fellow first-round draft pick and fellow linebacker Takiyo Spikes, but this gentleman had a great career, 24 sacks, 11 interceptions, Brian Simmons.
And that's what I think about with Brian Simmons. You mentioned the interceptions, you mentioned the sacks. Good run stopper. I mean, he could do it all. You could rush him, and he'd pressure the quarterback. Drop back into coverage, get in passing lanes, pick the football off. You know, was always where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there to stop the run. Extremely high football IQ, football acumen. The S-boys, Spikes and Simmons, I mean, they were incredible. Takiyo was built a little bit shorter, you know, more stocky, lower to the ground. Brian Simmons' size-speed ratio was phenomenal. I mean, he could really, really run at inside linebacker for his size and made a lot of plays for the Cincinnati Bengals for quite a while.
Player number 46 on the list, perhaps the great what-if story in Bengals history. He was the fifth pick in the draft coming out of UC and had a phenomenal rookie season. He averaged 9.41 yards per attempt, which is still the franchise record for a single season. As a rookie, he had the Bengals off to a 3-0 start. It was just their second year of existence. But in that third game, he got tackled by Kansas City Jim Lynch and unfortunately was never quite the same due to injury, the great Greg Cook.
Legendary. Could have been. I mean, unbelievable player. They beat Oakland and Kansas City in that 3-0 start to that season. And I remember watching NFL films and they asked John Madden, who's the best quarterback you played against that year? You know, you played against Len Dawson, Joe Namath, they're rattling off all these quarterbacks. the best quarterback by far was this rookie with the Cincinnati Bengals, Greg Cook. That kid's unbelievable. I mean, John Madden's going crazy. He won the AFL passing title, and he was AFL Rookie of the Year. I remember playing Bengals basketball with him. We'd go around to different high schools and play faculty for fundraisers, and talk about an athlete. I mean, the guy probably could have played in the NBA and averaged 25 a game. Just a pure, pure athlete, great-looking guy. Would have been Broadway Joe before Broadway Joe, Greg Cook.
Player number 45 on the list, a second-round draft pick out of Tulane in 1987. He went to the Pro Bowl in his second season when he had 7 interceptions during the regular season and 2 more in the playoffs to help the Bengals go to the Super Bowl. E.T., Eric Thomas.
And E.T. phoned home regularly. I mean, the dude made a lot of plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, not only great range, as a cover corner, but he had world-class speed. He was a track athlete in his college days. So he could run with anybody. He could run with any receiver stride for stride. And Dick LeBeau would not hesitate to put him on an island, one-on-one on somebody. He was part of that legendary SWAT team they had in the secondary in 1988 Super Bowl 23 season. And he just would blanket guys. I mean, he was a shutdown corner. Thing I like about E.T., though, not only could he do all that, he'd come up and force the run. He'd come up and stick his nose in there, take on the big pulling lineman, you know, shed those blocks, make a tackle. Eric Thomas was a physical, tough, speedy, excellent football player. He had it all. E.T. was special.
Number 44 on the list was an 8th-round draft pick out of Kentucky who was the Bengals' place kicker for 7 seasons. He ranks 3rd all-time in scoring in franchise history. He holds the team record for consecutive extra points made at 103. Doug Pelfrey.
Doug Pelfrey. Boy, the thing I remember most about him, Dan, is Christmas Eve of 94 against the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the Grinch for Philadelphia. He stole Christmas. For the Bengals, he was Santa Claus. I mean, he started Christmas. Christmas Eve, he hits a 22-yarder to tie the football game, and then toward the end of the game.
3 seconds to go.
Right, 3 seconds. 3 seconds later, onside kick, Bengals recover. Lines up and boots a 54-yarder to win the game. At the gun. Game's over. Santa Claus. I mean, go home, enjoy Christmas with your family. A 54-yarder, that's clutch. And NFL record. Nobody's kicked consecutive field goals faster than 3 seconds, so 3 seconds apart. So that was what I remember most about Doug Pelfrey. But on top of that, Dan, even as excellent a kicker as he was, high school and college, he played wide receiver, he played cornerback. I mean, he was very athletic. Bengals were gifted with a lot of athletes at the kicker position that understood the entire game, not just the kicking. And I think all their teammates respected that, you know, that they were football players. Doug Pelfrey, Jim Breach, all these guys, when we're running the other team's plays and to give guys rest, they'd line up and run receiver. Sure. They'd run routes and work against defense. They were special athletes.
The 43rd player on the list was the 8th overall pick in the draft out of Notre Dame. He spent 9 seasons with the Bengals and ranks 3rd all-time in franchise history in sacks, Ross Browner.
Another tremendous gene pool. Ross Browner, 3 brothers played in the NFL and a son, started for Pittsburgh Steelers, Max Starks, multiple years in the National Football League. Ross Browner, the thing I remember most about Ross, his unbelievable wingspan. I mean, he had like a 7-foot wingspan on a 6'3", 6'4" body. Because I remember in pass rush drills, you know, he would always get to the back of my shoulder pad, back of the cantilever, and I'm like trying to keep him away. And his arms were so much longer. I felt like I was blocking an octopus or something with that big reach that he had. And he had tremendous strength, very strong hands, and he really could use his hands. In fact, at Notre Dame, they had a campus boxing, like Golden Gloves, and he won it. Hmm. He beat everybody on campus. He was the boxing champion at Notre Dame, and I can understand it. Man, he had a powerful punch to him, and Ross Browner, part of the web. Wilson Whitley, Eddie Edwards, Ross Browner, and Gary Burley.
Number 42 on the list was the Bengals punter for 11 seasons and an NFL punter for 18 seasons. At the time of his retirement, he was 3rd all-time in NFL history in most punts, Lee Johnson.
Charismatic, hilarious. I mean, this guy, if you had a party, he would be the first invite because he was the life of the party. Just a really, really good dude. The thing about him, not only did he have a powerful, and he was left-footed punter, not only a powerful left leg, incredible athletic ability. He played with Steve Young at BYU, and he always told me he was in the top 5 in terms of team speed at BYU. And I'm like, no way. I see Steve Young. I said, can Lee Johnson run? Lee Johnson was probably 3rd or 4th fastest guy on our team. Okay. Well, so then I see it. Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati. Fake punt. Lee Johnson. goes to the sideline, outruns everybody for a touchdown. Lee Johnson could run, not only kick.
Now time for the final player on this episode of The Countdown. He's number 41 on the list, the fourth overall pick in the draft out of Missouri. He had seven fine seasons in Cincinnati and ranked sixth all-time in franchise history in sacks. Having said that, his best years came later in San Francisco, where he became a five-time Pro Bowler, defensive lineman Justin Smith.
The first time I ran across Justin, Dan, I was doing college football, and I have a game at Missouri, and the strength coach says on a Friday afternoon after their workout, "You got to see this. Justin Smith's going to go in the weight room and get his workout in." This is the day before the game, mind you. So I'm watching this guy, and I mean, a workout freakazoid. I'd never seen anything like it. The amount of weight that he was putting up for his body type, and you know, the power cleans, taking it from the floor and cleaning it. I mean, it was unbelievable how explosive this guy was. And that translated to the football field. I mean, you have to have different skill sets than just weightlifting. All Olympic weightlifters would be great football players. And he had it. He could translate that power from the weight room to the football field. And he was just throwing guys around in that college matchup. And he got to the NFL, and he was still able to do that kind of thing, really control guys and take advantage of his power and his strength. And Justin Smith could play outside, could play inside, you know, a very versatile athlete. And pound for pound, one of the toughest, strongest guys I think I've ever come across. I mean, he was physically gifted. I mean, just one in a million.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bengals' first 50 countdown. And don't forget, for exclusive content on the Bengals' 50th season all year long, keep checking Bengals.com.